The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Oh yeah, baby, yeah, baby. They're playing that one in Bradford.
How come it's back?
It's back because Bradford are finally on 0 points, baby. Well, it took them 19 games, but they're there.
I was just about to say, yeah, 19 games, and they've had their first year of losses in
the feel-good factor surrounding the Bulls at the moment.
Is there?
They're on the way back.
They've still got to win 5 games, though, Adrian, to move off the bottom.
Sadly for them, Dewsbury and Swinton came up with big wins, didn't they? So they're still 10 points away from safety, but the feel-good factor's back, baby.
And especially when you consider the issues that Swinton have had with cash flow over the last few weeks, for them to turn over Halifax like they did, that's a real positive result, isn't it?
Welcome to the final hooter, Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking Rugby League on loveRugbyLeague.com. Thank you very much to Radio General for letting us use the fantastic studio and to make us sound professional. Doesn't make that fanfare sound professional, does it?
No, definitely not. I think it would take quite a lot to make that sound professional, to be fair.
Yeah, so well done to Bradford. 19 games in, they're on 0 points. But there's a feel-good factor about it. I mean, lots of tweets saying it's a great day. It's great to see Bradford back on 0 points. Just shows how far down the pecking order in the world of rugby league they fell in 3 seasons, doesn't it?
To be fair as well, though, it was a comprehensive performance, wasn't it, against Oldham. I noticed that Ethan Ryan, he's a try-scoring machine. He scored 4 tries in that game.
Okay, yeah.
He was interviewed afterwards and said, I've never scored 4 tries in a game before. So it was one to put down in his scrapbook, wasn't it?
I've never scored 4 tries in the game.
Have you not?
Have you?
No, I've not. I've only scored 1 try.
I've not even scored 4 tries in Rugby League Live.
I don't believe that. You as a winger.
I mean, the computer game.
Oh, the computer game.
Yeah, I've never
Well, that's
that.
Impossible, to be honest.
Why not?
You've tried getting the ball out to the left and the defence closes you down. You try and move it to the right and you get smattered. It just doesn't happen on that computer game for me.
I've got my calendar out. I've already got the date penciled in for when the new version comes out.
Oh, right, okay. Are you going to get that to see how close the witness for players are
to
the likeness?
I always play witness, and hopefully it'll be a successful season. And if we get better at it, return witness back to the Cup King days again.
That's why you can't beat an egg when you go and play that game, then, if you play as witness.
Do you go on there as lead, are you?
Yeah, that's why I can't do anything either.
Speaking of Lee, they're signing a lot of players, aren't they?
Yeah, Semi Sony Lange has come in. Daniel Mortimer. They've re-signed Sam
Steve
Hopkins.
Steve Mortimer's son, is that?
He's related to the Mortimers. I'm not quite sure.
I think it's his son. I'm sure it is.
I'm not read into the family history, but, you know, he's a fair decent player. 128 NRL games.
His dad's good, so if it is his son, he's good.
If it is his dad.
Lee splashing the cash to survive in Super League by the looks of it. Going all out for it.
Well, I suppose they've just got to concentrate on winning 4 or 5 games at the end of the season, haven't they? Before it all changes.
Again.
We never know what it's going to look like next year.
Who knows? I wish they made their mind up. Just stick with it.
Yeah, I've fallen into becoming a fan of this system. I was always a bit of a fan of it, to be fair. I know it's got its you know, fallibles and whatever, but I think the big clubs have too much say, to be fair. That's always my opinion.
Big clubs looking out for themselves.
Yeah. It's like, we brought this in every minute matters. Then it was decided that every minute doesn't quite matter.
Does it really?
And then...
Not if you're in the middle eight.
No, the middle eights, that's where it does matter, isn't it?
Oh, that's where it does matter.
Yeah.
The so-called super eights.
Yeah, the so-called super eights aren't very super because usually the team that's in a 7th or 8th place is so far behind. In fact, just looking at the table now, I'm just looking, if Wigan make it, they're on 17 points at the moment.
They're not going to make the top 4, are they?
They're like 8 points behind the team in the top 4, so they've got to win. We're back to that Bradford situation again, aren't we?
We are, yes, and that'll explain why attendances in the super eights are not being as great as they expected. But I don't know what the solution is with that one. I mean, the talk is they're seriously considering having all 8 clubs start on 0 points, but surely you can't do that.
Let's bring another 2 clubs into Super League and scrap them.
The only way you can do that is if you say whoever finishes top of round 23, you're the champions.
And you give them a big pot of cash.
But you can't have the grand final being the the big Super Grand Final, because you won't be the champions.
Well, no, exactly. You know,
so how do you solve that conundrum?
That is a great conundrum, and I'm surprised you've managed to say that word.
If you've got teams on 0 points after 8 rounds, what's the point in playing 23 rounds?
You might as well just start off and just play 8 rounds and be done with it. Everybody find a place at 8 rounds.
I'm sure players would love that, because they're always moaning about playing too many matches.
Hang on. Which players are these?
All the players are moaning they're playing too many matches.
Ah, not all of them. Just the Australians. They've not been used to it, have they?
At Warrington, have signed a couple of players as well to try and resurrect their career this season as well. Peter Hicku has arrived in town.
He's half decent.
Ben Pomeroy makes a return back to Super League.
Ben was inconsistent in his last spell in Super League, so let's hope that he's got rid of the jitters and he plays to his potential.
So even Warrington are strengthening to get themselves out of the situation, or even if they are in that bottom four, they'll have the squad good enough to get themselves to stay within Super League, is what I'm trying to say.
And of course, we've got the Steve Mara factor, haven't we, over at Catalans?
Yes, of course. Forgot about Steve making a return back, although it was a losing return against Warrington at the weekend.
How did they play?
Not that great.
Not that great.
But neither were Warrington.
Okay. It was just enough,
was it? It's a win for the Wolves.
Well, I suppose when you've been on the run of form that Warrington have, a win's a win, isn't it? You don't really bother how it comes, by how many points. Doesn't even matter how many you score, how many you concede. It's just getting that W against your name, isn't it?
Now, Dewsbury in the Championship came up with a surprising victory against Toulouse. Didn't they?
They did.
They warmed up for that one with a win against Oldham 4 days earlier. Who says Championship players can't back up?
I think he says this in his interview, actually, somewhere.
Well, Neil, congratulations. How's your blood pressure after that game?
Not very well, actually. It's the sort of game that no coach likes to watch the teams play, but obviously I'm the happier of the two coaches because we get the win in the end.
It was a really tough encounter from start to finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was synonymous with teams at the bottom of the table. Both of them know the importance of this game and played with a certain amount of nervousness. I thought Oldham settled down better than we did in the game, but then we rallied. We've capitalised really on a little bit of adversity as well, because Oldham's had a man sent to the sin bin, a man stretched off, so we capitalised on that, but we're not going to turn it down.
In saying that, you had one of the outstanding players on the field in Gareth Moore. He really did step it up tonight.
Yeah, well, we missed him last weekend. He's played recently against Bradford and was synonymous with a victory, and he's very quickly become an important player for us.
Any other players that stood out for you tonight, Neil?
I thought Toby Anderson had a massive game at 10 when he came on. Most of the forwards, I think Billy Hayes had a good game, but we've made enough errors for us to to look at the video, see what makes us a good side, what gets us a win, and then I've pretty quickly hopefully get these errors out of the way. I thought we were too generous in our own quarter with some errors in the first half.
In saying that, I mean, he was really unlucky, wasn't he, Billy, in that corner? It took an awesome tackle just to stop him, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, did really well. But, like I say, they looked like two nervous sides, but they would give 100%. And I think Scott, myself, are probably pleased with the efforts from the players. We think, yes, we can look and see we could have a bit more quality in this area, but we're just the lucky ones tonight. Like Oldham were lucky, not lucky, but they were happier when they played at our place. We just returned the favour tonight, really.
Do you feel the revival's underway, though? Because I suppose since you've come in.
Yeah, well, we've thought that all along, but it's never going to be a quick turnaround. But we've slowly but surely sort of picked away at wins, not just against Batley, but we've picked away a win against Bradford. And obviously, again tonight, we've won again. So, we're happy to be on 8 points. We feel as though that's put us right on the tails of a cluster of clubs in the league table. But, we've 8 points won't keep us from danger at the end of the season. So we've got to look to add more points and more wins between now and the end of the season.
How does that set you up for the weekend?
Well, we've got to see how the players are. We've not got such a big squad that we can rest players, and 3 games in a week is tough for a Super League player, never mind a Championship player. But we'll see how they are on Friday, and then we'll look at our selection for the game. But we're at home. We'd like to think we could always win at home, no matter who we're playing. So we have to lick his wounds and get up again.
They did get up for it, and despite playing three games in the week, they came up with a big win against Toulouse.
Yeah, and a massive second half as well. It was 12-8 in favour of Toulouse at half time. So the fact that Dewsbury have managed to do that on the back of three games in the space of a week as well is fantastic. And interesting to note as well, Paul Sykes doing a lot of good stuff in the middle of the field, kicking seven goals from seven. They like the goals at Dewsbury.
Oldham, bad week for them, wasn't it? Losing out to Bradford 4 days later.
Yeah, they were never at the races, to be honest. It was 21-0.
Must be fuming.
Well, put it this way, I was looking to interview him after last Wednesday's game.
Oh, is his match ban finished?
Yeah.
People can talk to him now.
I was looking to interview him after the match last week, and I had to leave him be. I had to leave him be.
Other wins in round 19 of the Championship, by the way. London Broncos, we're meant to have Andrew Henderson on the show tonight, but he's in the disciplinary.
Yeah, nothing he's done, by the way.
Nothing he's done, by the way.
No, he's defending Mark Ioane.
Is that busy in the disciplinary room this week? They've carried it over from Tuesday to Wednesday.
I know, unbelievable.
Wow. A
lot of naughty boys then. Plenty of rebels.
Yeah, keep your discipline. It's got to be the word coming from the coach's mouth these days.
But I mean, we've highlighted Andrew Henderson a couple of times, haven't we, on the show? And what a squad that he's managed to get together there at London. They just never give up. They were trailing 18-16 at half time. It was looking like the game was going away from them against Featherstone.
Yeah,
they managed to pull it back. A couple of late tries. They found that winning habit.
Second place.
Yeah, winning habit. Second place. Club record winning run as well, 10 games unbeaten.
Just a shame there's only 900 people there watching it.
I know that is always the downside, but let's look on a more positive aspect. We've got a team that can play rugby in the capital again.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. Rejoice, everybody.
Batley Bulldogs beat Rochdale Hornets 24-14.
Team on form at the moment, Batley.
Hawkinson Rovers continue the domination of the Championship by brushing aside Sheffield Eagles 40 points to 18. And a great victory, by the way, for Swinton against Halifax, 13-12.
Yeah, it was an Atkin drop goal that sealed the deal 8 minutes from time. He's on the move, though, at the end of the season.
Hawkinson Rovers, isn't it?
Hawkinson Rovers.
You've obviously seen something there.
What I can't believe is a club actually signing a British halfback. It just is unheard of these days.
Unheard of.
But he'll do a good job between now and the end of the season for Swinton.
Thinking about where he's going, are we talking to Gareth Moore?
We could talk to Gareth Moore. Again, he played a key part in proceedings at Toulouse. I had him as my man of the match when they played against Oldham in midweek.
Gareth, tough old encounter out there tonight.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be. Obviously, some of these boys have backed up since Sunday, so we knew it was going to be tough. We had an hot bus, no air conditioning, so a lot of lads felt like under weather before we played, so a bit worried, but no, we dug in. We're a bit weren't smart at times, but no, we dug in for each other in defence.
I think really it was just one of those games where you tough it out and you come out on top, innit?
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, we knew that. I think they went off with a few injuries, and then they only had two subs left with probably 30 minutes to go. So we knew that we could tire them out, but we just needed to complete and get to the back end of the set. But luckily, it paid off.
There was a couple of bits of opportunism, wasn't there? Certainly, your try. Let's go through that one then, whilst it's fresh in the mind.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, it was. We're calling to obviously kick pressure and stuff, and sometimes it don't come off, it goes into touch, they get ball back, and sometimes it comes off. And luckily for us, I think at start of year it won't come in off for Dewsbury, and this time it has, and hopefully that'll give us a big lift for Sunday.
And how are you feeling now? You're playing some regular rugby again.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Obviously Halifax, I'm enjoying it. I've got good mates at Halifax. It's not as if I weren't playing. I was playing every week at Halifax. I just travel and busy with work and not seeing eye to eye with coach. So I just obviously now I've got back to Dewsbury, which I'm like 9 weeks not playing, so I got to Dewsbury, I'm loving it. It's next door to work, and Neil obviously lets me express myself the way I play, so yeah, loving it at the moment.
So I believe it's to lose this coming weekend. What are you expecting of them? Did you play against them earlier on the season?
Yeah, we're confident, obviously, after that. Anyone who comes to Dewsbury, when I used to play against them, I used to wait coming to Dewsbury, small pitch, and then our forwards today, like you've seen, they got off line hit people, and I think Dewsbury got a few out as well, so confident going into this game, and hopefully kick on after that. And we've got Batley, and all could happen, obviously, next bottom eight.
I know obviously you've played against Burnley a number of times in your career, and you know you've got long associations with that club as well. What's your thoughts sort of with that on the horizon?
Yeah, obviously Batley is a close club to me. I left Leeds when I was younger and went to Batley, and I enjoyed winning Northern Rail Cup with them, and met a lot of mates there, including chairman and coaches. So no, Batley's close to my heart, but obviously Jules be the main thing now, obviously keeping Jules be up in the league, and obviously I want to put one over Batley as well.
And certainly this winter night will go some way to helping keep Jules be in the league, won't it?
100%, yeah. When I first come it was a bit quiet, a bit downhearted. We didn't win a lot of games, and after the Bradford game we've gelled as a group pretty well. We've had a beer together and way back from London, and hopefully we can kick on the season that we've got to play these again. We've got to play Swinton's and every team down near us, so hopefully we can kick on now with gel together and have a push for savings against relegation.
Having a beer on the coach on the way back from London,
I know,
that's 1980s, isn't it?
Hey, to be fair, I mean,
don't see Super League guys having a beer walking out the dressing room.
Stop having a go at these full time professionals.
You have a protein drink instead.
Stop it. I was going to say, regarding Gareth Moore, what a signing he could turn into for Dewsbury.
Didn't obviously realise he started at Leeds.
Yeah. Obviously, he wasn't getting on as well with Richard Marshall over at Halifax, which was very interesting that he actually
said that. I
wonder
if he said that to him on the way out.
Because he's a chirpy halfback, isn't he?
Yes. To express himself.
And that's what Neil Kelly has got him doing over there at Dewsbury, got him playing to a slightly different type of structure, and it's obviously paying off, isn't it?
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, Parky, while we're listening to Gareth Moore, by the way.
Okay.
Just thinking about, we should have had Andrew Henderson on the show tonight, but he's in a disciplinary, easy for me to say, isn't it? That's been carried over because it's been absolutely jam-packed. The guys on the disciplinary panel worked overtime this weekend, this week.
I wonder whether they get overtime pay, to be honest, because we've just had a look at the list, haven't we? And it's quite comprehensive.
There is. Matt Percival was there, Rangi Chase, Tony Guige, Jamie Jones-Buchanan, Danny Maguire. What was he thinking when he had a go at the referee? Lewis Galbraith, Sam G, Willie Iser, Chris Anakin, Brad Fash, Anthony Walker, Corey Hansen, Scott Moore, Mark Ioni. That's a full house. I made that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9. 14 players.
You only need 3 more and you've got a rugby league team.
14 players. No wonder he can't be on the show tonight.
I know. But we'll have him on a future show. So don't go fretting, London fans.
By the way, Danny Maguire, for his rant at the referee, it's quite funny. You see his eyes and popping out of his head. I'm sure players forget that the referee's camera door.
I know that he's apologised for it quite specifically over social media.
Yeah, he's got a one-match ban and £300 out of pocket.
Okay.
Well, all the players are. Percival, Chase,
DJ, To be fair, though, I mean, what's he got done for foul and abusive language?
You can't swear at the referee like that.
Okay. So if he's a junior player, he gets banned for 8 matches. So how come a Super League player only gets banned for 1?
I don't know. I'm not on the disciplinary panel.
That's thrown a whole different
angle to it. No, just because you've got experience of it on the North West County.
I have, yes.
Well, I don't know how it operates.
Yeah, well, I could tell you, but we haven't got long enough in this show.
Right, we haven't. But yeah, I was just curious to see, with Andrew Henderson saying that to you on the phone before we came on, and to do this Final Hooter podcast for loverbilly.com. But yeah, I was just intrigued to see how full it was, and that's a full house.
It is pretty full.
No wonder Andrew Henderson got it. I wonder if they sent him home to London and he's had to come back. Or has he stayed over?
Well, that's an interesting
question.
And
if he does stay over, who pays for the room?
Who foots the bill? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because if you were on a flight,
okay,
and it's delayed, through no fault of your own, they put you up in the hotel.
Okay.
Now, it's no fault of Andrew Henderson that his players hearing has been carried over because they've got a full house.
We might have to ask him about this.
Intriguing,
what happens?
That.
Yeah, I think you've hit upon something.
Because I don't think they'd want to go back to London and then come back, surely.
Well, they might have been training today as well, you never know.
So he's obviously missed a training session as well.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they've had to go back down to London and come back up again. You know, it's all mileage.
All politics, isn't it?
All mileage.
Anyhow, let's talk about the action on the field, not off it.
Yeah, talking about mileage.
You went to Wrexham, that's a fair distance.
Yeah, I really
enjoyed. From your house in Lee.
I really enjoyed my trip out to...
How long did it take you?
It took me about an hour to get down there.
Well, it took the South Wales players a lot longer to get from where they're based to Wrexham.
Yeah, it's a good little setup down there at the Queensway Stadium. I really enjoyed it. And to be fair, I mean, South Wales gave their all in the first half. They shocked North Wales, were in front 12-6 at the break, but then came a really good second half. I've got my big bugbear, though.
You know what's that?
You know what I always say about numbers on shirts?
Yes.
And how the Widnes away kit this season is awful because it's a black number on a dark grey shirt.
Doesn't work.
Right, okay. So South Wales play in a light grey kit.
I thought you were going to say light yellow then.
No, light grey kit with a white number on the back. It was almost impossible to tell who was who.
Which one we just have in the top with a white square and a black number on
it? See, exactly.
Worked in the 70s and 80s.
It did. It's worked throughout rugby league history. Bring it back, please.
Oh, we sound like Ray French.
Anyway,
now.
Sorry.
We sound like Ray French and the gang now.
You had your rant earlier, so I've had my rant now, so that's it. But yeah, it ended up being a really good victory, and I caught up with the North Wales boss, Mike Grady, after the game.
Well, Mike Grady, we're chatting in the aftermath of what ended up a good victory for Crusaders, 36-12 against your nearest and dearest rivals. First of all, how was the game for you?
First half wasn't what I expected. We were out with throughs, we didn't stick to game plans, but we put that right at half time and we come out and had a really good second half. And a game is 80 minutes long, and first 40, we just put that right after that first 40 and got in the second half and had a good goal.
It's a bit of an inauspicious start, really, wasn't it? Dropping the ball with the very first kick-off and then them scoring within the first minute.
Yeah, I'm a big believer the first couple of sets the tone for the game, and as you've just touched on, the drop ball, it wasn't good, and maybe that set the tone for the first half and we didn't get out of that rut. So we started well the second half and we carried that on all the way through. So yeah, you're probably right there, but it's good to get the 2 points.
You eventually took your chances, because there were a lot of chances in that first half, weren't there, as well?
Yeah, I think we probably maybe a bit guilty of pushing things a bit too much, instead of asking the boys just to complete, just to get in the arm wrestle and things that happen at the back end. But I think we're probably a little bit guilty of overplaying and pushing things, as you say, but we rectified that second half and put a couple of tries in.
I thought your big guys went really well, to be honest. You got sort of six or seven really big guys. Warren Thompson looks like he was revelling in it second half.
Yeah, I know, they broke through as well, didn't they? I can't believe he didn't go to full length. But yeah, we've got some big lads. We've got a good squad. People touch on the squad. We've had a couple of injuries, so we've used everyone in the squad, really, and no one lets us down week in, week out. And as you say, we've got some big forwards, and on the day, they're as good as any in the league, but stood up second half and gave us that platform for the win.
What did you make of South Wales? Because they've gone through a period where they've reinvented themselves. You've obviously coached down there as well.
Yeah, South Wales, fantastic side. And as the first half shown, the out-enthused us completely and they were good. Paul's kicking was fantastic. Paul Emanuele at half-back, it was fantastic. And they just went forward off that. And all credit to them. They have been through some tough weeks, I think people forget. And it's just a credit to Phil and Paul keeping the boys together. And I'm sure if he keeps that nucleus, they'll be okay going towards the end of the season and into next.
Do you feel there's plenty of promise there still?
Yeah, I do. With South Wales, plenty of promise with South Wales, and it's a hotbed of rugby down there. I know it's predominantly rugby union, but there's a lot of rugby players down there, and if we could just tap into a few of them, then you've seen the likes of Regan Grace and Tellings. He's a South Wales lad, so there's plenty of talent down there, but it will take time, and hopefully the new guys that come in will persevere with that and something will come good.
Take you back to your own side again. Plenty of potential. Got a couple of loanees in from Warrington. Thought they stood up well. And generally, once they actually got into the game in that second half, I don't know what you said at half time, by the way. But
probably don't want to know.
But they did turn it around and they did a job for you.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, plenty of potential with myself. That's probably the frustrating thing this season. We've been inconsistent, if you like. We've had close defeats with Hunslet, all goals, and then the points against Workington, and again in the League One Cup final we were 10 points in front. So the frustration for me is our inconsistency this year, but as you touched on, the two loan signings that come in, they were fantastic today, and potential's massive. And yeah, it is a bit of a rebuilding this year, but going forward we've got a great nucleus of a squad here, so I'm excited about the challenge in the next couple of years.
Certainly likes rugby league in Wales, doesn't he? He's done it in the south and the north.
Oh, you wouldn't want to buy a second hand car off him, would you? He's done that money mileage. No, great to hear from him. He has got the basis of a good side there. They play a nice brand of rugby, by the way, also. And yeah, ultimately, maybe things are on the up for the North Wales Crusaders.
Well, South Wales, are you men? What do you make of them?
I think they're a very committed side. I don't know whether they're the most skilled side that I've ever seen in the world, but very committed. They got stuck in for each other. They have got a fantastic field kicker in Emanuele, who's the halfback. But ultimately, yeah, they struggled a little bit for rugby league now, I suppose, and that's where North Wales got them in the end.
I'm amazed you knew what one of your questions was.
About the inauspicious start?
Oh, there, this one.
It's a bit of an inauspicious start, really, wasn't it? Dropping the ball with the ferry.
What does that mean?
The inauspicious start, it was a poor start.
All right, okay.
It was a poor start, because basically, from the kickoff, ball goes up, North Wales fluff the lines, and South Wales score at the end of the set, so it was the worst possible start there. Am I going to be getting this played over and over again, like Brenda from...
We just put that right after that first 40 and got in the second half and I got golden.
We did.
It's a bit of an inauspicious start, really, wasn't it? Dropping the ball.
It's a bit like us. That's what we have.
What, an inauspicious start? It just goes on for about 45 minutes, though, hours. Every show.
Yeah, well done to North Wales for defeating South Wales and getting... Is that a Welsh Derby double for the Crusaders? I think it is, wasn't it?
Well, they played them three times this season, twice in pre-season. Right? And once in the season proper.
Right.
Because of the way that fixtures are constituted in League One, although there's 16 teams in the league, they split up after 15 rounds,
it's confusing.
I think it is. Yeah, it is confusing.
Everyone gets confused with the top eights and the middle eights. That's even more confusing than League One.
And then they all split up into top eight and bottom eight in that division.
Mm. How long for, though? Decisions are going to be made.
That is the big $64,000 question, that, isn't it?
Other wins in round 12 of League One. Close game between Workington and Coventry Bears. 29-28, I can't read. Workington Town winning that one. Newcastle Thunder defeated Hemel Stags 48-12. Gloucestershire All Girls came up with a 38-10 win over Oxford. 25-20 was the score in favour of Whitehaven against Doncaster. Big win for York against Keighley, 25-18, and Toronto continue their winning sequence with another 50-pointer against Hunslet, 56-12. Good to see 100 Hunslet fans making the journey down there as well.
Yeah, it was.
I should say.
They were all pictured, weren't they? All having lots of fun and what have you. And to be fair, Hunslet, they gave their all in the first half. It was a really close first half. Quick word on Workington, though, because that's now two of their last three games where they've won by a late drop goal. They actually defeated North Wales Crusaders 25-24 a couple of weeks ago, and they did exactly the same thing to Coventry.
Also a win for Barrow as well. So a hat-trick of wins for the Cumbrians in League One. They came up with a 20-10 win against London Scholars.
They're much improved these days, aren't they, London Scholars? They're making it difficult for a lot of teams to score points against, despite not being that high up in the league.
Might get better for them.
I think so. Yeah,
eventually.
It's definitely worthwhile persevering, isn't it? I mean, there's a few sides there which are starting to show signs of real improvement. Gloucestershire All Golds is one of them. I know we've picked them up on a couple of occasions over the course of the year. Oxford are no longer the easy beats. London Scholars are starting to kick. Even Coventry Bears, when they've been losing, they've not been losing by massive margins like they were a couple of years ago.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Moving away from League One and the Championship, let's talk Super League, shall we? And in round 19 of Super League, it was the battle of the bottom two. It was Lee versus Widnes. Who was going to get the win?
Are you trying to remind me again? I've just about put it behind me, Adrian.
Well, listen.
You keep digging at me in the ribs.
Yes.
You know, you're just dreadful.
Why not?
You're just dreadful. You're just happy because you finally managed to erase those two 50-point defeats back in 2010.
Listen, Lee were the bogey team for Widnes in the Championship days.
To be fair, from a Radio General point of view, when the fixture list comes out and came out for this season, you know, I didn't always look at, you know, when Lee were playing Wigan. I looked at when Lee were playing Widnes because I knew that I'd be able to have something to say, you know. So,
I've got nothing to say. To be fair, though, you mentioned the game against Wigan. I feared for Widnes. I thought if Lee turn up and play in the same way they did against Wigan, Widnes are going to be in trouble. But sadly for Lee and thankfully for Widnes, you never did.
Yeah, and to be fair, it was one of Widnes' better performances of the season, I thought. You know, they got away to a rip-roaring start, two tries in the first 6 minutes. So Lee are well out of the game with just sort of 10 minutes gone. And then just as they started to get an edge and start to work their way back in at the back end of the first half, well, they ended up conceding another two tries. So at 20 points to nil, that game is done and dusted, isn't it? Although Lee fought back with a bit of vim and vigour for about 20 minutes, as soon as the pass came out from Hampshire, intercepted by Corey Thompson, that was it, game over. And well played, Witness. I think that is something almost like a springboard for them for the rest of the season.
I did say whoever loses that game will get the wooden spoon, so enjoy having the wooden spoon at the Lee Sports Village.
It's all about where you finish all the season, though, isn't it? So if you get in these middle eights and it's above Widnes, then that's always good for me.
Let's hear from Chris Houston. He was happy for Widnes to be off the bottom.
Chris Houston, big effort from the guys. Must be pleased to have got the result in your favour.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a really good team performance tonight, and we've sort of been building on something for about the last 6 weeks, and we're finally getting some players back on deck, and we're working hard for each other.
Terrific start by the guys.
Yeah, it was. We knew we had to start well against Lee. They had a good win last weekend against Wigan, and they're a quality side, so we put a lot of effort into our start, and we got the jump on them, which was pleasing.
Got the tries on the board as well?
Yeah, that's right. Last week we had some field position and didn't convert it into points, and this week we did get over the line a couple of times, and and obviously addition ringing in the side, and Joe back as well, and they're creating things for us, and both our starting hookers are finally back playing together, and we're slowly getting the right people back at the right time of the year.
Must be pleased with the defensive performance as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're working for one another. So earlier in the year, it felt like we were probably a bit isolated and whatnot, and there's plenty of men keen to get in the tackles at the moment, and that's what wins your games, defence. Lee put on big points against Wigan, and they can score points, so our defence was good tonight.
And you feel yourself a try scorer tonight?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't get many these days. I'm getting a bit over the hill, but it was good. I'm just enjoying, playing in this team at the moment with Rangi probably providing a few things for us as well, and I'll take them when I can get them.
Slowly getting down to when Trappi comes out, but witnessing in the fact to maybe get out of the bottom four.
Yeah, well, that's ideally the goal, but as long as we're playing, with a bit of momentum and playing some good footy, whether it's middle eights or whether it's finals, that's what we need to be doing. And of course we want to be in the eight, but we really need to knuckle down and just be playing solid these last few weeks.
Going to have to do it next week against Wigan.
Yeah, I know. They're one of the, I think I probably hold them in the highest regard in the comp. They're a hard working team, and they've been at the top for a long time, and we're going to have to put a performance in better than we did tonight to beat them, there's no doubt.
I can see you over the hill at 32. I remember years ago, you were in your prime as a forward at 32, not over the hill.
Yeah, it's a young man's game now, though.
Young man's game? Don't make me laugh.
I mean, he scored his two tries, didn't he, Chris Houston?
Took him well.
Took him really well. I thought he played excellently, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I thought he was amongst the pick of the Widnes forwards, and he's obviously enjoying it now. Men have started to come back, and the injury list has lessened.
I mentioned the fact, can Widnes, they're back in the fight, can they get out the bottom four? That victory, believe it or not, puts them only 3 points behind Warrington.
It does, but
they're six behind Wigan.
I was just about to say that, yeah, so it's a big ask, isn't it?
A big win on Sunday. If they can come up with a win on Sunday against the Warriors, they certainly are in the mix with just four matches left.
What that does mean is that if Warrington and Catalans can also start winning, it drags Wigan into that bottom four position, doesn't it? Almost.
It really does.
Which is unbelievable. And I honestly can't believe that we're seeing a Wigan side that is on its worst run of form since the early 1900s at the moment. They drew over the weekend over at Huddersfield.
They were jammy with that one, weren't they, really?
And it was a close run thing, yeah, 19-all. And really, it's like Huddersfield are the draw specialist this year, haven't they? That's the third draw that they've had.
Grinding the way to safety.
Just about. But doing well, and it's obviously showing that Rick Stone is starting to have an input, isn't he? And he's finally got the team that he probably wanted all along. So, well played to Huddersfield. And over the last few weeks, they have done really, really well to climb up off the bottom of that table, and they're doing it in style at the minute.
Warrington managed to stop the rot as well in Super League and grind a lot of victory against Catalan Dragons 24-16. Hull FC brushed aside Wakefield. Didn't see this one coming. I thought Wakefield might have nicked it against Hull. 40 points to 18.
Especially when Wakefield were 12-10 up at half time. You wouldn't have expected that, would you?
And despite a good start by Leeds Rhinos, Castleford out-muscled them and out-gunned them at Headingley, 23-12. And St. Helens coming up with a last-minute drop goal to defeat Salford, 25-24. I didn't see that result coming as well.
That was an unbelievable game. I was there, to be honest, Adrian, and if you'd asked me after 71 minutes, I was writing a match report for another newspaper,
yes.
And I had to do three separate rewrites to the game, because
okay.
up until the 70th minute, it was looking every day like it was going to be Salford's first win in St Helens in 37 years,
wow.
I think. So that's how well they were playing. Then, you know, they rise off the canvas, St Helens, you're thinking, okay, they've got it back. Oh, they've scored another one. Oh, they've scored another one. Oh, it's going to be a draw. So you start writing a match report as if it's going to be a draw. And then in the very last second, Robert Louis, who'd been very, very good, goes for Broke, chips over the top. It's fielded by Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook, straight into the arms of Matty Smith. Drop goal from 40 metres to win it.
He's a bit of a drop goal specialist in Matty Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was really good with that one. I mean, as soon as it left the boot, you just thought, that's going. But it was one of those moments, those magical sporty moments, where time almost stands still or really slows down, you know. And then as soon as it sailed off his boot, you thought, that's going between those ages.
Big win for St Helens. Is the new guy on the coaching seat, has he got to grips and made them a better team?
I think he's certainly making an impact. You know, what he seems to have done is tightened them up in certain areas defensively, and
right.
he's tried to give them a little bit more structure to work on. So, you know, we've always known with St Helens that they can attack. Over recent seasons, that seems to have almost been... I don't want to say coached out of them, but they played a much more conservative style.
Yes.
Now, at least when they're getting into positions on the field, they're starting to chance their arm again. And, you know, there's a bit of confidence that's starting to come back. You know, winning breeds confidence, doesn't it?
New contract for Johnny Lomax. That'll give him the confidence to put his injury woes behind him.
To be fair, he was great on Friday. Really, really good. He took everything that Salford chucked at him and a little bit more. Popped up for the important all-equaling try as well. Deserves his shot at the big time. I know he was being linked with other sides in the competition, maybe not quite as high up the pecking order. And, you know, I hope that he's finally able to put those injuries behind him.
Fingers crossed.
Mm,
but
definitely.
After the game, rather than talking to Matty Smith, he decides to go where the big boys are with the forwards and grab all the Cal Amor. Thing is, did he have a shave?
No.
Well, Saints prop Kyle Moore, have you been involved in many interesting finishes like that before?
No, that's certainly up there. Nah, it's up there with the best for me. You know, we had a little similar one in the derby a couple of weeks ago where, you know, we were behind and we were chasing the game and you know, I think Percival come up with that try in the corner, if you remember. But no, you know, to be 24-8 down with 7 minutes to go, score three tries, miss a conversion, being drawn in the game, and then to come up with a drop goal on the hooter. Bloody special, isn't it?
It's
so,
like stuff for dreams, really.
Well, it's like the Saints of old, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
You know, with that attitude, and of never writing us off. And you know, we've always believed, and even last week, you know, when we played against Huddersfield, as daft as it sounds, it was 2 points to go. There was 2 points in it with 4 minutes to go. Unfortunately, they scored, but you know. We're battling hard, you know what I mean? We are competing. We are shooting ourselves in the foot too many times as well. And the sooner we can get on the right side of completions and the right side, mate, we'll blow teams away. But at the minute, we're doing it the tough way, and we're doing it to ourselves as well. So, you know, credit Salford. They're up there where they are, where they are. You know what I mean? And yeah, but. Phew. I'm just a bit blown away by it, to be honest. It was pretty special.
There's been a lot of close games involving Saints this year,
yep.
hasn't it? And quite often it's been one side of the ledger or the other, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, mate. You know, we've again, there's so many games this year where if only we'd have, you know, little things like where Percival, where he comes up and he spills a ball over the line, if that's a try. Or, you know, I can go back to, you know, being beat, drawing with Huddersfield here. I can go back to when we miss a couple of drop goals. I can go back to getting beat by 2 points off Wakefield. A lot of our defeats that we've been beaten by has been less than 6 points, you know. So, but again, though, that's been a product of what we've been doing to ourselves as well. And, you know, Justin's obviously highlighted that and put a real emphasis on it. But, you know, again, you know, we started the game with a couple errors again. But we just need to really work out. And, you know, I think it's an individual thing as well. We need to just concentrate and want to improve. So, yeah.
It almost takes you back to your championship days and if they were giving bonus points out, doesn't it?
Well, I know. So, yeah, but, you know, look, end of the day for us, massive win. You know, we climb a couple of points up the league ladder, and you know, we've got a tough run of games. I think we've got, of our last five games, I think there's I think there's only Catalans really below us. So, you know, we've got all the top four to come, and we'll look forward to it, and we'll try and give ourselves the best chance we can of climbing that table. So, come the split, then we put ourselves in the best foot forward to attack them Super Eights.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
You're throwing in some old school classics there with Carl Amor. The
what do you mean?
Championship bonus points.
Oh, no. Well, I knew that he'd won a few in these times.
I actually used to like them, actually.
They were good, weren't they? You ended up with closer games, I feel, overall. Although you couldn't get much closer than that one that I was at between Saints and Salford, could you?
He did mention the fact that he's getting close to cut-off time. Four matches remain. St. Helens currently in sixth position on 19 points. A top eight is Castleford, Holt, Salford, Leeds, Wakefield, St. Helens, Huddersfield and Wigan are in eighth position. And outside the eight is Warrington in ninth, Catalans, Widnes and Lee.
Still pretty close, isn't it?
Is the running order.
Ooh, I wonder if that's how it's going to remain over the next few weeks.
No, there's going to be clubs swapping places all over the place over the next four matches.
And to be fair, if St. Helens play anything like they did in the last 8 minutes against Salford for 80, then they're going to absolutely tonk somebody. They're going to really do well. So, plenty of interesting twists and turns to come, I feel, Adrian.